This is a CC Radio podcast.
Tell me something, Paul. Why must you spend time sucking on my balls? Why are you such a whore? Your soundboard makes the episode a snore. I'm farting. Better choices than you can make. You don't know shit. There's better movies in my taint.
Tell me something, Wayne. Are you happy with your shit-ass calls? Or do you need class? How come all your choices sound like ass? I'm puking. In the countdowns, I find myself longing for you. And when the shit calls, I doubt my health. Or in the countdowns, fighting like bitches, we'll never give more ground. Acting like huge nerds, calling each other turds, we're deep in the countdown.
Oh God! Welcome
I'm
to episode.
So sorry. <I know. laughs> It's even worse now than it was back then.
Oh my God! Yeah, sorry about that, everyone.
Second time we've ever featured that on the show, and why not have a 2.5 minute opener?
Exactly.
That was meant to be an hour show.
Skip past this part. For the record, it is episode 277 of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to, but not today.
That's
today
right.
Today is a patron requested / directed countdown.
Sure.
It's from David Powell, top level patron to the show. Thank you, David, for your support of the show.
D to the P.
He said, I want you guys to do the top 10 original movie themes.
Right.
Right. So Wayne promptly went away and made a whole bunch of songs that weren't originally made for movies.
No, because the brief was not, like, at that stage, was slightly loose.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, shut up.
Listen back to last week.
I didn't read it, motherfucker. I didn't read it. Paul has to tell me, and then he briefs me, and then I do things, and then I correct them.
So originally the movie theme. So it can be score, it can be a song, as long as the song was written for the
film,
movie.
Not repurposed for the film.
Exactly. So you can't do Stuck in the Middle with You.
Can't do.
For Reservoir Dogs, because...
Even though that's arguably the theme music for that.
No, but it wasn't not original. Wasn't exactly, written for it originally. Exactly. It's an old film that was written.
Totally.
So we got there in the end. We're on the same page. We can guarantee you an episode that will never be played on YouTube because it will violate all kinds of copyright.
Absolutely.
So strap yourselves in. There'll be a lot of music and less of our banter, I think, this particular episode. But strangely enough, these are the episodes that tend to rate better. What is that telling us, Wayne?
No one likes us. All right, so...
Hey, they're not going to talk as much this episode? I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I'm in.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's the intro. Let's get into a segment that kicks off every show that we call the recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
There's probably too much of us singing on this show already.
And what is the recount, Wayne?
Well, it's where we talk about shit that y'all sent to us through the week. Polly, what's up?
Thankfully, there's relatively little extra stuff we have today because it's going to be a long episode in any case. But we just do need to do the results of two votes from last week. The first of which is, of course, the competition Wayne and I have between each other for who had the superior list. According to you, the listeners, the only place you can vote for this is in the Facebook listener community. And the listeners have once again spoken last week's episode, Top 10 Romantic Couples in TV or Film. Rachel from Fangirling Podcast. You haven't heard Rachel and Amy, do check them out. Rachel came on guested and we thought she would spank us.
Not literally.
It would be very difficult.
It would.
From all the way over in Queensland. No, not literally. Nevertheless, Rachel did not triumph. I'm not sure what's going on, people. I'm honestly not. I understand Wayne beat me. Wayne beat me comfortably. That's fine. But when you think back and look at that list, what's going on?
I don't see any issue at all.
So the final vote tally, 18 votes to me, 22 to Rachel, 26 to Wayne, taking to an 11-9 lead.
11 oh, really?
Asterisks, yeah, smashing me. You've won like the last four weeks in a row.
Don't usually take the lead though. I usually come to
no,
you.
No. I had to win the last three last year to fall over the line and beat you. So you have, I don't think you've ever been three up. But apparently it's pick on Paul month. Or POPM.
Oh, victim pop-em. Playing on shit. I don't even know about that.
So I don't know what's going on here. This is utterly ridiculous. Some of the comments. Mike T, your cousin. Good debate. Been watching Friends again recently and I agree 100% about Ross. Definitely the funniest.
What? That's what I'm saying. A lot of folks did not think that.
Yeah, they absolutely did. John Snow, Julio for the Contrarian, said Paul had Spike and called me out for saying, well, he did force himself or try to on Buffy at one point. That's a bad choice, Paul. Wayne had Ross. Rachel wins by default. Rachel from Fangirling there.
Yeah, totally. Fair enough.
Kristen Akaro said, Rachel won it for me because the first 5 minutes of Up will never not be iconic, which is a great call. That was fair enough. Absolutely. Ashley Gorski, wonderful. Wonderful, Ashley, for the Rabbit Ears TV podcast. And how the hell is Paul in last place? Good question, Ashley. Very good question. I've been asking myself that all fucking month.
I didn't ask myself that once.
Nick Orton, when Rachel said Katniss and Peter, I thought no way she blew it. But she won me back again with Up.
Yeah, Up was the killer.
However, it was all Wayne, apparently, because largely for Out of Sight. So, Mary Clement Hill said, I had trouble with this vote, but Wayne edges out Rachel with Out of Sight.
I am so glad that some folks know about this show and how it's just Viagra.
Well, there you go. You've now had it officially recommended from Wayne. Need some help in bed? Watch.
Out of sight. And then it'll come into sight. What I'm saying. All right.
The other vote was for what's the better film? We've had this debate going on. Old Guard or Extraction?
Oh, Extraction all the way.
Incorrect. But listeners have voted, Wayne. I put three options up for the Facebook listener community. Netflix Sucks Donkey Balls was the third.
Okay.
With four votes.
Bit of a surprise.
Extraction with 13 was second. And The Old Guard, 24 votes.
That is a landslide. By the way, did you know that Netflix released their top 10?
Old Guard's only been out for like 4 days, dude. Give it some time. Does not count.
I think Extraction was four.
No, didn't Extraction. Wasn't number one?
Oh, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, Extraction was number one.
Yeah, it was.
And, but some fucking shit like that Marky Mark one. Oh, that's on the
Spencer
list.
Confidential.
Yeah, well, did you see that?
God awful.
Was it shit? Yeah, okay.
Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, the fucking murder mystery or whatever one.
Yeah, The Wrong Missy, shit like that was in the top 10. Yeah, so right, I'm not sure that's any kind
Holy
of...
Holy shit, everyone's as dumb as me.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well played. That's the soundboard. If you're new to the show, or welcome. It gets a mention a lot often. A lot often? That's a good English. Well done, me.
Well done.
All right, then let's get into it proper then. This episode, the top 10 original movie themes with thanks to David Powell on the other side of, well, let's not even do a music pack.
Let's just fucking do it. Boom, we're in.
Music everywhere.
Plonk, smash, splash.
We've explained the parameters. There's no need to go any further than that. I think we just go, bam. What's your number 10, son?
My number 10 is fucking Footloose. Because Footloose is so fly. I remember seeing this when I was a kid, okay? First of all, that dance, that Kevin Bacon dance with the kicking in the leg and stuff like that. Everyone used to do that in high school. You know why? It was easy to do and it looked fly. But you did have to swing your hands and kick your head out to the left. But I'm just saying, that's one thing. Secondly, the movie itself, this movie's pretty sexy, man. I gotta say.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's sexy. It's sexy. And like, also, Kevin Bacon is sexy. I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, because that shit will get you started in the morning, man. And on a personal note, there's a Will and Grace episode which features Kevin Bacon. Everyone should watch that. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's really great. It's giving him shit basically to himself about Footloose and all sorts of shit, and it's really, really good.
Does he give him shit about himself, shit about Friday the 13th as well?
Does not mention that, no.
Because he never mentions that shit.
No, he doesn't. No. Yeah, but that's, you know, it's great. So anyway, Footloose, by the way.
Don't exist.
This movie was very prolific in my youth. Like, everyone seemed to like this show, and it was very cool that he was dancing in the countryside. And then there was a lot of 80s music. So
it's a great song. You know what? This song features on my running playlist.
Oh, what?
So, yep.
What else is on your playlist?
It's a really good beat to run to. Oh, he just hits that. My cadence kind of falls into that.
Ah, do you have similar songs like that?
Look, it's all over the place, my running playlist. Okay. There's some techno stuff. There's some some scores. I've had like Bad Boys for Life on there for a while now as well, since the start of the year.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all over the shop, but it's a good song. Nice choice. Well played, sir.
Word.
My number 10 is the only time this composer hits my list. And I'm a little sad about that because he's fucking fantastic and he could have been here two or three times on my list. But there's so much quality, right? We know that, as ironically, you're the music talent. You're a much better guitar player than I am.
Yeah.
Comparatively, you can sing. I can't. as you may have heard at the top of the episode.
But that's what comedy was.
But I appreciate music or score in a film, I think, probably more than you pay
attention
to.
Absolutely, no
doubt. And my list is predominantly score.
I'm predominantly the other way.
Yeah. So it's a perfect indication of sort of who we are as people.
Sure.
And my number 10... It comes from Alan Silvestri, who is iconic in Hollywood, does so many great films.
We know Alan.
We do. All the way back to the great Mac and Me.
Really? What?
You ever watch Mac and Me? He did the score for that movie. And the score is a film which is budgeted for $50 million. And the film itself is a film that's budgeted for $200,000. It's just so out of place. It's weird.
Are you kidding?
AF. No. Watch that movie.
Take off of E.T.?
Yeah. Yep.
That shitty fucking...
Yep, with a dude in the wheelchair.
And it's a shit movie, but it's got a sweet ass score.
Terrible movie with a great score.
What?
It's so out of sync and out of place because his work is just so much better than that movie is. And he just elevates just about every movie that he's in. And no exception, my number 10, one of the greatest films of all time.
Bring it.
It's adventure. It's grandiose. It has this sort of brass section which swells and it just draws you in. You're like, it's exhilarating. Even this theme, in my opinion.
What can you be doing? Talking.
I'm talking about a score that you should know already.
Oh, yeah, I know. First few notes.
Back to the Future.
I can actually feel it a bit, I must say. It's a bit special.
It's very special.
Yeah.
And it just makes the heart swell hearing that. Like, yeah, it sets you up for this movie in a way that
You remember your youth, Paul. You remember how you felt when you see all that shit. You remember how DeLoreans were like a car you never heard of.
But it's also just, I don't know, it's so exciting. You hear that anywhere, you knew it instantly. I didn't even finish fading it up and you're like, bam.
Part of childhood, no doubt.
Yep. So yes. That's why it's one of 10, Back to the Future.
Very nice.
The original theme from that film.
Now, here's where I actually go ahead and mess up that winning streak of mine. Okay. Here's, all right. This is going to be an odd one. It's going to be a contentious one. I'm fine with it. Please come with me. This movie and the song that goes with it is written by someone who I consider one of the best music writers of her generation.
So it's a song. Okay, not score.
Definitely so, most of them are songs. The song is the theme to 9 to 5.
Really? 9 to 5?
Yeah, buddy.
Are you sure about this?
Positive. Listen up.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Top 10, you say?
Oh, yeah. This is beautiful.
And the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5 for service.
Wow.
Dude, right. I love that song. I actually remember that movie from when I was a kid. Okay. It was it's a huge thing. It's actually quite a dirty movie, but I saw it when I was a youngster.
Wait. Hang on. Let me compute that.
Wait a minute. This means nothing. Okay. The song itself, on its own merit, is an excellent, excellent song. Just like most of the shit she writes. You listen to Jolene. Listen to the way she arranges those lyrics, the phrasing in it, and just the actual the right.
We're not talking about Dolly Parton. We're talking about a song that's in the movie.
Yes. Well, this is an example of how talented she is. I reckon she is awesome. Is that so? Yeah. 9 to 5. One of my favorite people. What can I say? It's okay. Hate me. You can hate on me. It's okay.
Nothing wrong with the song. I agree. It's a fine song. It's oddly placed in the best 10 songs that
It actually makes me kind of happy. All right, that song makes me happy. Don't know what it is.
All right, there it is. My number 9 is something, well, I'd say more iconic, because you're going to know it the moment that I start to play this particular one. There is no way around it. It's the first, but not the last entry from John Williams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So how about I just, that's my intro.
It could be anything.
It could be any number, because John Williams is prevalent and arguably, probably not, the most influential composer in Hollywood in the last 50 years.
There's an argument. Oh, bloody hell.
What do you mean, Wayne?
Wait.
Get out of the water. Wayne, what are you doing?
What do you mean? How can we get out of the water?
Get out of the water,
it's
man.
It's dark, motherfucker. I don't know where I'm going. What's going on? Oh, shit, is it a fin? Yeah, I get it. So, Jaws, huh? To be fair, this is, what is that, an oboe I'm hearing?
That's the wrong guy.
I don't know.
But then look at that.
Yeah, you all like the strings coming in. This would have been fun to play. Yeah, that's cool. Love. All right. I know you love the movie.
And I love the movie. Love that. And the score's quite weird, because it has that arguably almost one of the most iconic scores of all time, or themes of all time.
No, I'd agree with that.
But then some of the other bits later in the movie, they're more playful and they're fun and they're kind of emphasizing the adventure side of this movie rather than this thriller.
That's your gangster writer right there. He can do anything.
Yeah, he can do anything. And of course, John Williams can. We've seen it in other films, but within the same film, and it all works. Like when they're off, they're out gallivanting around in summer, it's Amity Island, everyone's in the plane, it's fun, it's whatever else.
Yeah.
Even when they get on the boat, the three of them to go off, it's still got that jaunty tone to it. Mm. To be juxtaposed against this, I think it's just an amazing score. But this track, wow.
I mean, totally, but like, imagine being the guy who came up with, yo, 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 here's what's going to happen. It's just going to be, dun-dun, and then wait fucking 7 bars or whatever, dun-dun, and then it's like, that becomes the thing that everyone does now. It's like popular culture. Fair enough.
So popular that, you know, you could just be in the ocean.
Yeah.
Someone says, you know, yeah, dun-dun.
They're like, fuck you, fuck you.
Or how about Eddie Murphy in Delirious? This is like, you know, when a big brown shark came.
Jeju in a cave.
That's my 9. Over to you for your 8.
Nice one. For my number 8, this is a song you might hear when there is something strange in your neighborhood.
What could this one be? Okay. But I will tell you this much. It's also something strange I've heard in my neighborhood.
Really? Because?
Because it's also on my list.
Sweet. Let's hear it.
Something strange in your neighborhood.
Ow!
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If it's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
Okay, so let's just like ignore the fact that everyone loves Ghostbusters and it's off the chain, right? But this song here, Ray Parker Jr. was given like the edict from Ivan Reitman, who, as you know, is a genius.
He's a genius.
He said, you've got to have the name Ghostbusters in this song. And Ray Parker Jr. was like, you know, it sounds easy now because you've heard the song, but if someone said to you, write a song with the word Ghostbusters in it, it's really, really difficult. And so he said he was trying to get the title in the song to make it interesting. He ended up asking his girlfriend and her friends to just yell it into the mic. And that's what you're hearing. The Ghostbusters!
Well, wasn't he inspired by, this is something I read on the Wikipedia page, not to do too much research, but he was late at night watching something, and then he got an infomercial, and he's like, okay, if I made it in like this jingle as an advertisement,
absolutely,
that's the way I can construct this song.
Yeah, and he said it was supposed to be in the tone of that shitty ad that they did in the movie, which was Ghostbusters. You know, like this would be like a jingle that they could use. So that's where he did it. But in the end, it ended up being like the whole bomb, man.
One of the greatest hits of the 80s.
Who doesn't know this? Even now, I don't know. Do kids know it now? Maybe they don't know now.
Let us know, kids. Do you know it now?
Well,
if you're under 20, or if you're under 25 years of age, do you have any idea what this song is?
It's got to be a no, right? But here's the thing. What if with the new one that's coming out, what if they do some very throwbacky version like this, yeah, then you might get it. Then you might get it.
My, I think yesterday, as I was putting this list together, yeah, my daughter came in and, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing my list for the podcast. And she's like, oh, yeah, what? And I told her. And she's
really?
Like,
she asked that?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I said, do you want to hear a song? She said, yep. So I played this song for her.
Yeah.
And I could hear my fiance and her friend out in the living area, not far from the office. And so I put it on and we got, you know, to the point of ding, 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 ding. And my daughter went, this sucks. Bellowing laughter from out in the living area who heard the whole really? Exchange. I was like, how dare you? Straight no child of sucks. Mine. Where are you going to be living the next for the rest of the till you turn 18?
Really? So it doesn't surprise me, man. I talked to my niece as well and she's like talking about Chance the Rapper and some. I don't know what the hell. Exactly. I don't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah, we're old. All right. Anyway, that's not my.
Tyler the Creator. Sorry. Go on. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Not my number eight, but my number eight is an absolute driving song where I will put it on. If I'm driving home late at night, especially if there's a tunnel involved.
Oh, yeah.
But it could just be late at night.
Oh, okay. Tunnel preferably driving
on,
song.
Preferably on a freeway if I can. And it comes from Hans Zimmer.
Oh, of course it does.
Of course it does. There was going to be some Hans Zimmer on my list.
Sure, sure.
This list is zimmered up the way, let me just say.
Who could blame you?
And this is the first entry for him and one which comes from one of the most iconic songs, movies, I should say, of all time. In fact, the movie that you, the listeners, for our 200th episode, voted as being the greatest movie of all time. This is from The Dark Knight.
Really?
And I'm talking about the track. It's entitled Like a Dog Chasing Cars.
Where's this bit from?
This is from The Car Chase, motherfucker. Slash.
Oh, with the truck?
So you can see it's this grandiose kind of...
It is grandiose. Let me ask you, does that to you sound more heroic or not heroic?
I think it sounds heroic.
I think it is heroic, right?
That brass that comes in towards the end of it.
Yes, that's what it is. It's actually swelling. It's nice. Yes, and it's actually it's kind of golden or something. Like he is this for Batman? This
theme? Yeah. Well, it's Batman chasing the Joker when he's and
definitely he's the aggressor. This is definitely his theme. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and it ends with the big flip of the car in IMAX, the truck in IMAX, which is just incredible. And then the bat thing driving up the wall and turning around and going back again. Remember that?
That was the shit. Yeah, man. The Dark Knight was the fucking.
That's
big,
amazing,
bad
amazing
balls.
Film. But I honestly, that's 12 years on, and I will play that track.
That it's interesting.
Any opportunity I have when I'm driving at night in the car. And I'm not joking at all.
All right, you know what? This isn't on my list because my list went songy, not scory. Yeah, yeah. But the 89 Batman
yes.
Right?
I thought that would have been yes.
It almost went on my list, but I swapped it out. It's an honorable mention. That's my tunnel, fucking driving, and especially at night.
Funny that they're both Batman tracks.
You know what
then.
I'm saying? Because it's Batman driving his mobile, son.
And had we had more time and let that play a little bit longer, you'd have really heard it sort of swell as well.
That's right. And spoilers, Paul's car actually kind of looks like the Batmobile, except it's blue for some reason when I told him to get a black one.
He did tell you a black one. And then the cleaning of it dissuaded me and I got the WRX blue.
Go out and look at my beautiful black clean car. Man, it's beautiful. It's worth it. All right.
Well, if you were going to clean my car every time I want it clean, then I would have bought a black one.
Look, I'm almost there.
All right, over to you for your seven.
Nice one. This song is one of my favorite songs of all fucking time and it happens to have been written for a movie. I absolutely adore it. It's called Together in Electric Dreams.
Oh, yes.
Right? Is it on your list?
It's not on my list. It's on one. I think it's on David Powell's list, actually, the man who gave us this particular one.
Dude, this movie, Electric Dreams, has got Virginia Madsen in a very young role and some other people that I don't know. And
who's the guy then?
She's not the lead. His name is Lenny Von Dolan or something, but he plays like
oh my God,
Miles.
I think he was in an episode of Red Dwarf.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is he an Englishman?
Yeah. He plays
an American. Yeah.
I don't know if he's an Englishman or not, but. If I'm thinking, really? Maybe I'm mixing this up completely, but that just twigged something
he's
in my brain.
He's very, very Poindexter, Where's Wally looking guy. Oh, okay.
I'm looking it up.
Well, but this movie here is basically an 80s movie, and it was it's about the guy's PC taking over his life, all right? But it was played in a very 80s way, and at the end of the movie, the computer, which decides to, spoilers, kill itself, creates this song out of its AI or whatever. They didn't know what AI was back then. And it somehow takes over every radio network in the world or in America and plays this song, Electric Dreams. And I remember thinking, this is the most pleasant, awesome song I've ever heard. So it's just
pretty nice.
Shit.
Maybe we should hear it after I confirm he was indeed on season 5, episode 6, Back to Reality.
You actually nailed it. Yeah. Well, good pull. All right, man.
And on that triumphant note, let's hear the song.
How happy is that shit making you, man? How good is it? I just love this shit. Philip Oakey, Georgie Moroder, often mistaken to be a Human League song because that's the lead singer, but it's actually not the Human League, although he does do it in concerts because I've seen him do this live.
Several times.
He only came once that I saw, but tell you, I saw
Human League. Didn't they just play that song over and over again?
No, Human League did like, you know, don't you want me, baby.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's shit.
Good song.
So like that, yeah, okay. Right. Anyway.
I take that back. I'm sorry. And what I'll also take back is my next choice, because my number 7 is Ghostbusters. Ray Parker Jr. Straight back to you, sir, for
nice
your
one,
number
brother.
6.
Okay. Here's another one of my favorite songs. And this is the best like song. If you ever happen to find yourself on a shore somewhere, preferably at dusk or dawn, okay? It's Pure Shores by All Saints. And it was used for the movie The Beach, all right? And I think this is one of the most relaxing, dreamy, fall back into her lap and fall asleep kind of songs there is.
What? No.
Seriously?
I love this song, man. I really love it. It's so good.
So this was written for the movie.
Absolutely. Okay. Pure Shores was... I could go into the whole thing, but
give us a little bit of background. Well, apart from that's why you like it, but what's the story with the song?
Well, the song's lyrics talk about finding a place to relax and calling it one's own. That's what that song is about. It's a little bit what The Beach is about.
Searching places to find a piece of something to call mine. A piece of something to call.
This shit is magical, man.
What the fuck is this?
This is fucking great. This shit sounds great. Ran along many moors, walked through many doors. The place
where I know they're girls.
Well, hang on. Listen to the chorus, man. You gotta listen to the chorus.
You wanna hear the chorus there?
You gotta hear the chorus. Sorry.
God, I'll fade it back out then.
Sorry, come. I feel that shit in my loins, man.
I'm sure you
do. No, it's not about the girls. It's about the energy of the song.
Sure,
I'm telling you, it's about the energy of that song. They are British, though. So anyway, yeah.
Wait. So they're British and they're girls, which in Wayne's world means...
Shut up.
You know me.
Yeah,
I see a pair of big, weighty breasts and all logic flies out the window.
Such a bitch.
There's a lot of energy going on this episode live, I can tell you.
Yes, and a lot of finger flipping.
Wow, that is the most unexpected number 7 since... Oh, number 6, was it?
I really have some shit in my heart for that song. I don't know what it is, okay? But maybe some of y'all can understand and agree. One guy talking.
I'm sure people will understand. We're getting pretty special now, though, with my number 6 is a soundtrack which is very special, so special to my heart that I proposed it to my fiance that we could play this song
at the wedding.
At the wedding, whilst maybe signing the registry or whatever.
Huh.
Right?
Okay.
So
this is interesting.
A lot of people got behind it. I recently spoke about it with Epic Film Guy Nick on the Epic Film Guy. Well, on our little feed that we have going in our Patreons.
Sure.
EFG. No, I'll tell a lie. I spoke about it on their show. For the 25th anniversary of Braveheart, and I'm talking about the scene or the song called The Secret Wedding. Wayne, the question I have for you is, do you like pan flute? Because you're about to.
I do like pan flute. Is that the same as meat flute? What? Fall silent.
I don't know.
What's going on?
Sorry, I have lost it. I set that up way too poorly.
I think it sounds... I think you you'll find that the actual execution might still work. People love hearing shit like this though.
I knew looking Wade's eye with such glee that he couldn't fucking help himself. He's like, oh my god, he said flute.
So this was a bait and switch.
All right, okay. Let's hear the actual damn track.
Hear it.
Now time to swell.
Good, because I thought you would grow a vagina. Like, we're just looking at this shit right here.
I'm the guy I just spoke about fucking All Saints.
Completely on board with that shit. I mean, it's okay. I still think you're the bride.
Oh, it's special. It's special, man.
I'm interested in this one here. Like, this seems like a very innocuous one for you to be like in, Mr. fucking Batman. Like,
well, it's more downbeat. Not downbeat. It's more softer.
Definitely. It's less low slung, we sometimes
yeah,
say.
It's less action-y. Most of my choice of my thing are
seems,
all about
it just seems
pumping
pretty
you up.
For what I know you to liking. That's, you. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. I can be pretty sometimes too, Wayne.
Okay.
I like pretty things.
No, you're a pretty man. It's fine.
He says, "Porting a 5-day growth."
That's probably what's doing it.
Anyway, so that's my number 6, The Secret Wedding from Braveheart by James Horner. Rest in peace.
Ah.
The only time I can fit James Horner on this list, and not just because of his name.
I wondered if you were going to do something with that, and then I was
didn't
like,
quite
okay,
work
no,
the way
no,
I was hoping
good.
For.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
But
okay,
he's got some, obviously, Aliens would be on my honorable mentions.
I know you're James Horner.
For example, Last Samurai, wonderful score that he wrote as well. So, yeah.
Very muff.
There we are. Back to you. Top 5.
My number 5 is goddamn Danger Zone, son. What?
It's pretty good. It's so good, in fact. And I don't question this at all. Right. Other than you could have gone the actual theme from Top Gun. Like,
no!
No.
That fucking song sucks, man. So check it out, right? I know the one you're talking about. And if, when we were kids, you really liked it because it seemed like this happy, like,
that's the one.
All right. And it
my rendition was
good.
Just as good.
If you listen to if you listen to it now, right, that fucking same riff goes for what seems like 60 minutes, motherfucker. It is only that riff, and there is one bridge that goes, but then it's right back to the same thing for another fucking 200 bars. Bitch, please. It's, I'm telling you, man, it's that one there is good for like fucking 30 seconds, and then you're like, Harold, there's a fault in my hair. I just came up with that.
That was good.
Thank you.
I'll pay that one. I do want to add, if I may, please, before you talk about why Danger Zone pumps your nads, that this reminds me of a very funny, I thought, skit from Hamish and Andy.
Yeah.
And Hamish, was many, many moons ago, was talking about his girlfriend on Logie's Night or some shit.
Yeah.
His then girlfriend. I think
Megan Gale.
Huh? Andy was with Megan Gale.
Oh.
Hamish was with someone else. It's before he married Zoe Foster Blake, I think her name is.
The anyway. Americans are all scratching their heads.
Yeah, they are. They're famous Australians, good blokes, very funny. They've good friends, blah, blah. Anyway, most popular podcast in Australia.
Sure.
The gag was basically hearing his girlfriend ringing him to tell him about her dress that she just bought for the Logies.
Yeah.
And he recorded it, right? And he played it. And he said, here is an insight into what happens in the man's head. And he said, basically, she starts talking about her dress. And basically what they did was they faded out her voice and they replaced it with this. Is that too long?
I see. We're in the danger zone.
Yes.
Because she fucked with it. Oh, okay.
And also, he just doesn't give a shit about her dress.
Okay. I don't know if it was worth it, but okay.
Look, it made me laugh a lot of the time. I'm a bit worried that Hamish and Andy don't have enough listeners.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Anyway, all that aside, Why did you pick this song?
Because Top Gun is the fucking dripping ball sack, man. That's
unless
a
it's
great
Harold
fucking...
Faltermeyer song.
Yeah, no, it's not that one. have you seen the music video for this? It's Kenny Loggins in a like a small bedroom, I guess, hotel room with a fan going, and he's for some reason wearing sunglasses, and he's just lying on the bed, and it's kind of weird. But it's the great thing about this song is that not.
Speaking of things that had nothing to do with anything.
You have to understand that the 80s were like that. There's a lot of windswept shit going on. Anyway, are you not excited hearing that? Bah, 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 bah? It's just, it actually has a tempo to it that gives you kind of energy.
Good song. Good song. Also, was on my running list. Got cut.
Yeah, sure.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Little
Footloose fun,
okay.
has stayed. Danger Zone is gone.
Wow.
It's two Kenny Loggins on your list.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It was going to be a Loggins sandwich. At one stage, this was going to be number one. At one stage. In one version of the list.
As opposed to the Kenny sandwich where Kenny Loggins and Kenny Rogers used to bang
<There's>
people.
No, what? Paul's having a late night, everyone. Just want to know.
It's my birthday tomorrow. Shut the fuck up.
That's right. It's Paul's birthday tomorrow.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right. My number five then, we need to bring some order back to this chaos, is arguably my most played track of any score in the last 5 years. Not arguably. It damn well is. If there were stats kept...
On your heavy rotation?
Yeah.
Okay.
This has also been in my running playlist for a long time.
What's this one now?
And my rule to myself, swear to God, is I cannot stop running if this song is playing.
You sportsmen and your superstitions.
I want you to hear this, and hear this is two people coming together to fight off a superior enemy.
Really?
That's what it's from. Mad Max, Fury Road.
Scene this was in.
This is when Furiosa and Max are going through the canyon and they've got all those bikers and stuff attacking them. And
okay.
The first time they've come together, like they've been at odds, they've been antagonistic towards one another, and there's moments in this during this track while it's playing where they just look at each other like, oh, I've got your back.
Okay.
You've got mine.
I've so not seen that movie again since the first time.
Oh, God.
I know.
Look, I know. Probably here's where I lost it. If you've lost it with fucking All Saints, then I've lost it here because I talk about the movie too much. But I couldn't be true to myself.
So, hang on a sec. You
Tom Holkenborg.
This... Yeah, yeah.
Junkie XL.
This Junkie XL fellow gets a lot of work.
Especially in the last 6 or 7 years.
I know. Zack Snyder and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This, you said, was on your running list.
Yep.
Is that because of that cadence of that pump, 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 pump?
That
bum,
helps.
Bum, bum,
but yeah? It's also just, it just gets me pumping every time.
I get it.
Like, if I was a gym guy and I'm not, then that's the song I would choose to listen to while I was trying to pump iron.
You know, this is the difference between you and me. You have a running playlist. I have a walking to work playlist. All right.
All right. That's my five. Over to you for your number four.
Nice one. My number four is the only, probably, theme on my list, I think. Yes.
Holy shit. This must be special.
It is special. And it's because it actually gives me the feels. It is, in fact, the original Star Wars theme. And I'm talking about the, well, you'll play it, but the that one, right?
I'm not sure how I mix this in together. So I'm going to try and do this on the fly. Here we go.
Go ahead.
La 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 la.
Okay, I didn't know that's what you were doing. I didn't know that's what you were setting up for. But despite Paul's bullshit, I think anyone who heard that...
Low,
sure. Okay, I'll tell you...
Unbelievably low.
Oh, I can't wait to show you what's above that.
Whatever it is wrong.
So, you know what about this theme, okay? All I can tell you is that there's a very specific feeling it elicits in me, and that is... big, grand, huge. It's just boom.
100%.
Right? Because I remember walking into the cinema and being impressed, one, at the size of the cinema and the screen and everything as a kid, right? And then, ring, this shit is like, fuck, it just feels like something big. And that's never gone away. The amount of times I've heard it, you know, whatever, over the years, it still feels like an event. So this is for... I don't know. This is a little bit like, this is fucking puts shit in your step, man. You're walking out of the cinema feeling a certain way after this.
Whoa, but this is how it kicks off. That's the first note. 20th Century Fox fades out and then And Star Wars just exactly. fades out or distances away, and then we get the crawl start, and that's playing over the crawl. It's mm-hmm. like, holy shit, what am I in for here?
That's right, and it gives you the urgency of having to read that fucking crawl. And you do.
But it's exciting, it's exciting, exhilarating, exactly. Your heart starts pumping, it's right. all those things and more. And the reason it's higher on my list than it is on yours mm-hmm. is because I think this trilogy of music yeah. is so like it could have been yes, it was obviously this is the right one, but it could have been the Imperial March.
Okay, so Imperial March.
It could have been Duel of the Fates.
Duel of the Fates is so good.
I know.
Duel of the Fates is so fucking good.
So that's why it got up where it should be. Because I wanted to honor the entire works.
Well, bullshit. One pick doesn't mean all the picks. Eat my dick, motherfucker. That's some bullshit.
It's better than shooting on it at number four. That's all I'm saying.
I don't even know what about kind of bullshit that is talking about, but there you are. So, all right, well, now we have to hear Paul's number, motherfucking, what, three?
Four. My number four is Hans Zimmer again. I actually don't think I even remembered to say this, but The Dark Knight, Like a Dog Chasing Cars, is actually James Newton Howard as well. So,
no one gave a fuck.
Apologies.
No one gave a single fuck about that.
Well, this one is pure Zimmer. I don't know if you're having fun, but we are. The big thing about this track is it just builds. Really, I can't do it any justice by playing 20 or 30 or 40 seconds. I'll try, but really, it's the whole thing. It builds in this way that really draws you in, and it has such nostalgic feelings for me. I have some very complicated ex relationships that are one or two that are bound up in this song for me. So when I hear it takes me back there in some ways with both longing but also mostly pain.
Okay. Yet, okay.
I love the song so much. Some people love this song so much they have created a 24-hour mix on YouTube of this song on endless repeat.
Are one of those people you?
No.
Okay.
But
just checking.
I might do 48 hours.
I'm now gonna try and pick what era and
hope. I won't even tell you what the movie is. Let's just see if you can get it.
Okay. Sounds like every other score in every other movie to me. It could be Armageddon. How's that? Is that a guess? No? Okay, ain't no Armageddon. Once again, this is an orchestra playing something nice. That's how this sounds to me. This is not iconic like
please,
Indiana Jones's
please
like
forgive
shit
me.
Or something like that. I'm just saying,
please
man.
Please forgive Wayne.
This ain't no thing, man. I just thought it's nondescript to my ass. That's what I'm saying.
Absolute Neanderthal. Approach to music
and
film.
I'm interested in how many other folks out there made the call with this one. Go ahead,
Time
Polly.
From Who? Inception.
Oh, yeah. Could be any one of those in that movie. It's, oh fine. It's fine. Could be any. Could
you
be
can hear it. The way it's very deliberate in terms of...
All music has that. It's called a beat.
Hans Zimmer is very close to John Williams to me. He may even be better.
No, I agree. Hans Zimmer is the shit.
And this song is... It just pulls at the heartstrings. If you heard the whole thing, and it's fair to say that a 20-second or 30-second snatch doesn't
no, I
do
will,
it
I will give you that. I will give you that. Absolutely.
As opposed to some other things we can just go... And then you know what it is.
It's riffy. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas this is... It's the whole song is what sells it because it builds very, very slowly. Like waves, which is... You know, like love, which is what it's referencing over time. Love conquers,
really?
Not conquers all, but love is everything because it's all about Cobb and his connection
deeper.
With, I can't remember his wife's name,
Marion Cotillard. Yeah.
Yeah. apparently yours and Sam Hurley from the movie is 22's favorite woman of all time.
No, Sam Hurley. I'm not a fan of hers.
You're not?
No. He was a
Sam,
big fan.
If you vote for Wayne this week, well, no, you're betraying Marion.
Do what you will, Paul.
I love this movie, and I love
this
track.
Oh, no, everyone loves Inception, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice one. My number three is possibly, like, I don't know. Fuck it. I'm just going to say it. It's Live and Let Die.
Well, you've satisfied a couple of the fans out there.
Oh, really?
If Wayne doesn't have a Bond song on the list, I'm not.
Well, you know what? I was going to do the Bond theme, but you know what? This is better. And you know what? And it's by Wings, all right? And if you like Alan Partridge, he often once explained Wings to a young man by saying, "Whose Wings? That only the band The Beatles could have been." Which I think is quite funny about Wings. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't understand the joke.
Never mind.
Makes you give in and cry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hold up.
Say live and let die.
good is that
shit? It's really not better than Star Wars.
It's almost as orchestral if you think about it. You know how good this song is?
Oh, did you hear that transition?
Perfect. If you didn't fuck it up.
But draw attention to it.
Yo, but check it out, right? This song is so good. When Axl Rose tries and busts it out later, like, when you're young in your heart. Still sounded good.
The version I grew up with, yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Exactly. Paul's always like that, man.
But it's a fine choice. I can't fault it. Other than the fact it's higher than Star Wars.
Oh, totally, totally. It's a better party. It's a better party to be at.
No.
I'm telling you. No, it's not. Trust me.
You play those two songs for each other, next to each other. Who are people going to recognize? Come on.
I'm just
come
saying. On. Oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe not. Either way.
All right. My number three, then, over to moi, is a song that will be so a piece of music that will be so far from Wayne's list, he won't even be able to recognize. I'm not even going to bait him. I'm not going to suggest it. I'm just going to let you, the discerning movie fan, actually appreciate greatness while Wayne scratches his balls and wonders what he missed out on.
Just unzipping now. Oh, I know what this is, motherfucker.
You too?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Shocked.
Because you don't even maybe watch this fucking movie.
Is there any more iconic horror score than this?
Who gives a fuck?
Wayne is now muted. Halloween, Wayne's still on mute because he has offended me.
Fuck you, cut! Oh, so it is. By the way, everyone, while that was going, I was bashing my head and churning the butter. You know what I'm saying? I was doing that move, that dance move.
He was getting into it.
So, baby.
That's what he was doing. He understood how great this particular track is.
Yeah, it's a lot of your people will like this.
Yes. Okay. I think no one would argue that. Friday the 13th.
What? Okay, I guess so. What?
Yeah, again, lost Wayne, but I'm talking to the rest of you out there, you horror fans, or just people who want to appreciate good music overall, iconic music overall. That's my number three, Halloween.
Well, speaking of iconic music, my number two people, I don't mind telling you this about myself. This song kind of makes me cry sometimes. Okay. It is, and I could populate this entire list with Henry Mancini songs, but here's the one that I think is at the pinnacle for me. It is, in fact, from Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's Moon River. And I'm not talking about the one where Audrey Hepburn actually sings over it, nor am I talking about the Andy Williams one, which has become more popular. This is actually the orchestral instrumental. I just love this thing. It's so good. Yeah, I don't even know what specific heartstrings it pulls for me, but
neither do I.
It sounds.
You gave me shit about time. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's quite simple by comparison to your fancy composers. But this one here, for example, the lyrics as well, Dreammaker, Heartbreaker. It's very, very, very cool. I don't know. I'm sure I'm alone on this one.
Classic. That might be the oldest film you've ever referenced.
It is, and I'll tell you something else. The actual movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, I know Audrey Hepburn, I know all that sort of stuff. It actually is this really beautiful movie, and it's one of those things that I actually don't think about until I think about it and I remember how much I love it. So, yeah, I think there's some of that going on, some of that transference shit going on. But I don't know what it is.
These things are going to be special to you. They're going to be personally going to be nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm a bitch.
We're not trying to argue. We're not musicians. We're not music aficionados.
Not at all.
These are our personal choices.
This is the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Higher than Star Wars.
That's right.
My number two is so iconic, it defined the word. If there's a picture of this piece of music next to iconic in the dictionary.
What a bitch. God.
It's from John Williams again. Reckon you might have heard it. Also reckon it's coming up on your list. Let's see. It's this little ditty.
Oh, of course. Not on my list. No. It's very nice. It's very, very nice.
Very nice.
It's very nice.
And adventure.
Totally.
Exhilaration. Promise of amazement.
Erection.
Several.
Several erections.
Why are we talking over this one, not any other? Shut up. Now we can talk.
Actually, I do like that part, that drop. That's some good shit.
The whole thing's amazing. The whole score of this film, you could pick it like that track where Marion's been carried on the back through whatever streets of Cairo or wherever they are. She's been kidnapped and they're carrying her away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Indy's chasing her. Absolutely. That piece of music is incredible as well.
This guy's the shit and this series is the shit, except, of course, for the one you don't acknowledge. Now.
Which one?
Exactly. Now, my question to you is, we all know you're a fan of Ilse Schneider.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you had to...
What's this got to do with the music?
Shut up, man. Listen. if you had to pick between Marion Ravenwood and Kate Capshaw, which way are you going?
You know me. I see a pair of thick, weighty breasts, and all logic flies out the window.
It doesn't answer the question, because I'm not sure about the rack size of either. But I think in my head, you're going with Kate Capshaw.
No!
You're definitely going with Willie Scott. No!
Well, look. Maybe Kate Capshaw in real life is the most amazing woman, which has captivated
That's
Steven Spielberg's heart.
But
the characters? Marion Ravenwood.
No, I'm talking about the characters. Marion, because she's tough and scrappy.
And because she doesn't do this.
is that your, when she's screaming, Andy? Is that it?
That or...
Oh, I remember. I think she said, oh,
we
my God.
We are Jesus. Going That's right. to die.
I remember what she said now.
Oh, my God. She fucking shits me to tears.
I didn't say you got to talk to her. Anyway.
Okay. Ladies, Wayne's Shut number is 555.
Okay. It's late over here.
It's getting late. Later than the usual recording. Wayne, then, here it is. Your number one.
Oh, yeah.
The best original music theme from a film of all time.
All time.
Give us your recap and then give us that.
Sure. 10, Footloose. 9, 9 to 5. 8, Ghostbusters. 7, Together in Electric Dreams. 6, Pure Shores. God damn, it's good. 5, Danger Zone. Danger Zone. Number 4, the original Star Wars theme. 3, Live and Let Die. 2, Moon River. And number 1, Mrs. Robinson. By Simon and Garfunkel. It's a fucking jam, baby. It's a jam. Everybody loves it.
This is your number
jam.
One. That's
this
why
is my number
so
one, no doubt. This shit is great.
Simon and Garfunkel. I shortchanged myself then.
Fantastic. Yo, this is for the movie The Graduate. And it's about, yes, okay, Paul, draw some parallels, if you will. It is about a older woman and
Shocking.
A younger woman. Yeah, this has nothing to do with it. This is purely about the song.
Pure
okay? way. That is good shit. And by the way, everyone knows about Paul Simon, but Art Garfunkel, sure, we make jokes about him looking like pubic hair and shit like that, but he's actually got an amazing, amazing voice. If you ever hear his ass do like song Sound of Silence live, it's the shit. But this is great stuff here. And by the way, when this song was written, that's when Paul Simon was like feeling like he didn't really want to get into the movie writing song game, but they convinced him to this one last one, and he busted out, and he drops this thing here. That guy's a legend. One guy talking.
It's a great song, slightly beaten out by the classic You Could Call Me Al.
That was good. Remember that Chevy Chase in the music video? Yeah. That was great shit.
I can't remember what movie that was from.
It was from...
Or was it from a movie?
No, it wasn't. It was just
they got Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase was in it.
Maybe that was before he was a huge elite-sized cunt.
You know, Chevy Chase Lance is in the Ghostbusters music video too. He did a lot of that shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Back when he was trying to get his brand.
Yeah.
He's out there. Now I've established now he can all eat all my dicks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all done.
Okay. Well, now to give my recap.
Let's go.
And then my number one, which will be somewhat anticlimactic if you've been paying attention. Number 10, Back to the Future. Jaws theme at number 9. Number 8, Like a Dog Chasing Cars from The Dark Knight. Number 7, Ghostbusters.
Nice.
Number 6, Braveheart, The Secret Wedding. 5, Brothers in Arms from Mad Max Fury Road. 4, Time from Inception by Hans Zimmer. John Carpenter's iconic classic Halloween theme at number 3. John Williams' iconic classic Raiders Lost Ark. So much better than Wayne's choice.
Copy paste, iconic classic. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because what was amazing? He went with the iconic classic things. What's wrong with Paul? Raiders Lost Ark at number 2. And number 1, of course, is Star Wars.
Ah, yes. The theme I had a feeling.
From Star Wars. The only crossover we had, which you stole my thunder of. So fuck it, I'm playing it again.
What the hell is that? Is that a MIDI version?
Twinkle, twinkle, little rock star.
Oh, I see. Very xylophony.
These are the things you play to your kids to make them go to sleep at
night.
Is
that what you're doing?
Seriously.
Yeah. Is this why you're making her a little like a movie fan but covert style?
Well, I think it was when they're meant to be babies. Like, I'm not sure a 7-year-old would appreciate
that's
that.
That's pretty funny.
Which you can't appreciate Ghostbusters, goddammit.
Well, maybe if you started a little earlier.
Maybe I have dropped the ball there. There, Alice Wayne. It's a long episode. Well, maybe it's not. Who knows by the time we actually edit all this together.
Yeah.
Give us... I struggled. I cut so much class.
Dude. It was Class City. I dropped all of that shit.
Run through them. We obviously won't play it now.
Sure. Yep. Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club. Shit is class. Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head from Butch and Sundance, whatever.
Yep.
Love Theme from St. Elmo's Fire. I love that shit. Blaze of Glory.
Oh, Young Guns 2.
Yeah, baby.
Was that written for the movie?
It was. And then, you know what? They wanted to use Wanted Dead or Alive, that Bon Jovi
song.
Yeah,
from Slippery.
And then John Bon Jovi said, I'll just write you a new one. And he writes that.
That's better.
You reckon?
Yeah, that song. Blaze of Glory is better than Wanted.
Man, everyone fucking... That was good shit. He's on top of that fucking plateau thing singing that shit. That's the cool shit.
Didn't make a list. Damn.
All right.
Let me run down them real fast.
Pit.
Again, most of them are a score. Jurassic Park, John Williams again.
Fair enough.
No, I don't love the movie, but I love that piece of music.
Agreed.
It's so iconic.
Very great.
Again, Man of Steel, Hans Zimmer's.
Good shit.
Pretty much take your pick. There's so many good tracks.
Man of Steel's this shit. That's a good movie.
James Horner, Aliens, I mentioned that. Basil Poltaris' score from Conan the Barbarian, the title track. Boom, 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 boom.
I vaguely remember that.
Even sparked away there.
Well
we go.
Done, well done.
John Williams again, Superman, the movie, 1978.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one.
The Avengers, Alan Silvestri's iconic theme that plays through all the other films later on. He wrote that original one, which gets a workout in every Avengers movie.
Can you give me a rendition?
No, I'll do that. I'm not embarrassed myself. I'll just fucking play it.
I don't recognize it, but I do like it. So yeah,
you don't recognize that through all the Avengers films, man.
I told you these fuckers all sound the same to me, man. You're the guy with the discerning ear.
Anyway, all right, ask that. The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Ennio Morricone. We just lost him very recently.
Yes.
I'm sure that's what part of what inspired David's choice of the topic today. Sing Street. Yeah, all the tracks from those.
That was
particularly
the...
Drive It Like You Stole It.
Drive It Like You Stole It. Such a good fucking song.
John Carney wrote it, but the Sing Street. Crew or cast.
That's on my fucking Spotify now. I'll listen to that shit.
A Star Is Born. I know we butchered it at the start of the episode, but Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, and there we are. That's my honorable mentions.
Very nice, old man.
All right, let's get into your choices to wrap up the episode. This segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Off this week's Pop 10 with the B-Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Good friend to the show. Number 3, Superman.
Word.
Number 2, Braveheart. Woo-hey! And number 1, as if there's any other answer, he wrote Jurassic Park.
Oh, he's number 1. Nice.
Judy Dutrum, good friend to the show, patron to the show, shaken not nerdist. I'm going to go off the norm, he said, and pick The Red Capes Are Coming from BVS.
Ah.
The Imperial Suite from Rogue One. And Captain Hook's theme from Hook.
Ooh, didn't hear that one.
Hmm. Tara Maholik, another patron to the show, said, Last of the Mohicans. Now, Last of the Mohicans was going to be on my
list. I was so surprised it didn't turn up on your list.
Promontory, the definitive track from that album, as far as I'm concerned. But it turns out it was based on a piece of music that was created by a Scottish composer in 1990.
Hence, not purposely built for the Vimy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure other...
It's fucking great, though.
Tara maybe talk about other parts, but that song just echoes from my heart to this day. Okay, it's amazing.
That's why.
For the track from Wonder Woman, I'm guessing Wonder Woman's theme, which was written by Junkie XL.
If we hear that shit live, it was the bomb.
And Hunt for the Wilder People, because I'm still wrecked. Wayne, are you shat on Hunt for the Wilder People?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot about it now.
Oh, Tara, get on the group. Vote with your heart. Be the Solution on Twitter said the Indiana Jones theme at 3, the Godfather Love theme at number 2, and the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly at number 1. The Oscar Real Movie Podcast always put some great lists in of late. I mean, this is always going to be a John Williams love fest. 3 Jaws, 2 Indiana Jones, number 1 Star Wars. Join our group, please, and vote for me. Hooray! Thank you very much for that. Ian Nathaniel Cohen said Batman 89. You mentioned that one. The Seahawk from 1940, which I obviously have not seen. Haven't seen it. And Raiders Lost Ark from 81. Joe Ketchum from Word Salad Radio, good friend of the show, said Back to the Future, Avengers, and Superman the Movie.
I think you're going to win this one. Everyone's talking about scores. Okay.
Well
done, old man. That's it.
What do you mean? We're talking about, I'm like 4 in a row lost. So.
Yeah, it means your odds are just huge.
Mackenzie Lambert had Profondo Rosso from Deep Red, a Dario Argento film, Star Wars at number 2, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from number 1. Mm-hmm. Think of how many other movies have used this theme, he said. Lou Fry over on the Facebook community said, number 3, the Halloween theme. Number 2, Gonna Fly Now, Bill Conti from the Rocky soundtrack.
Okay. Yep. I don't know it.
No, I'm going to it. And number 1, The Never Ending Story from Lamal. The story which doesn't. Lou wrote. Kristen Nakaro said, oh, this is a hard one. There are so many awesome scores and soundtracks, and we have to pick just 3. Epilogue from La La Land from Justin Hurwitz.
Ooh, nice.
Number 2, Married Life from Up, Michael Giacchino. And number 1, the Jurassic Park theme, John Williams.
It's pretty hardcore right there from Nick. Nice one.
Thank you. Also, she's a patron of the show. Another patron of the show, Chris Yeaney. Legitimately a large and a lovely human being. Said, damn right. So damn hard to pick, especially with the recent passing of Morricone. But he said, number 3, Top Gun Anthem, particularly the guitar solo. You've upset Chris. Oh!
No!
Number 2, theme from Shaft. Yeah, Isaac Hayes.
No, good call.
And number 1, Batman 89 theme. Gonna love some Elfman.
Even better.
Chad Fackler said, The Touch from Transformers animated movie. I'm going to assume that was written for the film. I didn't do my research.
It's a good joke.
Number 2, Footloose from Footloose. There you are, Wayne.
What?
And number 1, The Raiders March, a.k.a. the Indiana Jones scene. Duh.
One for you, sir.
Well, duh indeed. You might wonder what happened to Wayne's list. Mina Harker said, Axe Left by Harold Faltermeyer.
Yeah, man.
From Beverly Hills Cop.
Fucking A. Fucking A.
That's a great choice. Shaft again by Isaac Hayes. And number 1 again, Indiana Jones scene.
XLF is a good call.
Yeah, it's
It's actually called XLF. Oh, it's good shit.
Yeah. Chef Ben Randall from the Interweeds podcast, good friend, sponsor, / patron to the show, The Man with the Golden Gun, number 3.
I don't know how that goes, but okay. We used to sing The Man with the Oversized Bum because we were kids. I'm just
random, but okay.
There you go.
Number 2 again, Indiana Jones. And number 1, Tales of a Jedi Knight, which I think is from Star Wars Episode 8. I don't know.
That's some bullshit right there.
Jake Humphrey said, I chose to go with songs rather than scores. Big Trouble in Little China at number 3.
What up? Wicked, wicked.
It was on your list.
No, but he's doing my thing. It's
number
good.
2, Who Wants to Live Forever from Highlander.
Also, I don't actually do that.
Not on your list. Number 1, Mortal Kombat.
That's good shit, man. Nice work.
Joe Morris, our good friend from 2Ps on a podcast, said, Halloween, my number 1 by infinity. Thank you, Joe. Looking forward to your vote. Back to the Future and Star Wars. And then the last, but not least, goes to David Powell, the choice of the selector of this topic.
Go, son.
Giving him the privilege of all 10. Suicide is Painless from Johnny Mandel. Lyrics by Mark Altman from MASH.
I actually know that one.
You do? Okay. James Bond theme. There you are. From Monty Norman. John Barry from Dr. No and others. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Ennio Morricone. Magnificent Seven from Elmer Bernstein. Oh, that's a good one.
I do know that one.
Oh, that's great. That's a good choice. Great Escape, also from Elmer Bernstein.
That I do know.
Chariots of Fire from Vangelis.
Oh, yes. I always thought about that one.
Twisted Nerve from Bernard Herrmann. Reused in Kill Bill, Death Proof, American Horror Story, and others. Is that original then if it's reused? I don't know, David. That was your choice.
Unless it was first used in a movie, then yes.
Okay. Prince of the Universe, Queen from Highlander. Where the Prince? Yep, yep.
Okay.
And lastly, Wayne, you'll be very pleased. Together in Electric Dreams from Phil Oakley.
Oh, yeah! What's Giorgio
Moroder.
Nice.
There we go. Thank you so much for your feedback. We're sorry we couldn't get through it all. We had some great choices this
Hell
week.
Hell yeah.
And that's just a representation of them. We really, truly appreciate your feedback on the show. Wayne, how do listeners let us know their choices for topics at hand? Or indeed, just let us know what's up in their world.
Find our socials by just busting out, like, you know, The Countdown Podcast on Google, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. You can like and follow the show on Podbean. You can also check out the Facebook list community links in the show notes. Join up there, get involved in the discussion where we spend most of our time. And finally, ccradio.com.au for ourselves and some other great Aussie podcasts, including last week's guest, Rachel from the Fangirling Podcast.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Was some good fun at times. Check that out if you haven't already. And that's it for today's episode 277 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this little trip down a musical lane.
Damn right! I had a good time this episode.
It was good fun.
Me and Paul are going to have a pizza now. This is fucking great.
We're totally having a pizza. Finish my drinks. And then tomorrow I'm going to sleep in because it's my motherfucking birthday.
That's the shit.
Yep, not working tomorrow.
Happy birthday to Paul, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. And next week, episode 278, top 10, last 10. Lockdown version number 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Our good friends, a lot of listeners in Victoria and New South Wales. New South Wales is not locked down yet, but Victoria is. Big shout out to our brethren, our listeners over there who aren't able to get out and about and do their thing. So we're going to do another top 10 last thing, give you some recommendations on what to avoid, what to watch.
That's right.
And you're not locked down in the States. You bloody well should be based on the numbers that I'm seeing.
This virus can suck my dick, man.
I did get to the movies for the first time in 4 months the other night. One of those, that film will be on the list. You can find out whether or not you should be chafing the beer to or just very happy you avoided that one.
Probably going to be fine, people. Stay home.
That's it for us today.
See you, kids. My name's Wayne.
My name's Paul. And this has been The Soundboard. Or at least my list was. We'll catch you next week.